Kenya, so this is the first time I've ever spoken it in the U.S. I want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, prepare your spirits to hear what God has to say to you. I think he wants to speak to all of us, me included, because this became a unveiling, stripping naked for me as I began to approach this. We are going to cover a lot of scriptures today, because I believe I've got to build a foundation to help take you where God wants you to be. But if you will, go with me. I want you to be ready to shift your thinking, shift your paradigms, shift how you've looked at things, and see God's intent and purpose behind your destiny in your life. So if you will, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. If you're going to put a title on this message, it's An Afternoon with Zacchaeus. An Afternoon with Zacchaeus. Now, I need to give you a little bit of context before we read the scripture. Our scripture picks up at the end of Jesus' life, less than a week before he's going to be crucified. He has a large group following him from Galilee to Jerusalem, getting ready for his triumphal entry. He will never leave Jerusalem alive again. The significance of this event, though read and heard many times by many with the least bit of Bible knowledge, I believe culminates in intent. It is a closing argument of a carefully laid out case. It is a capstone of a building project. It is a master blueprint. It is the example to prove a point. The encounter is a true life picture of what I believe the writer has taken some extreme efforts to convey through parables, stories, testimony, eyewitnesses, and the words of Christ himself. It is written to a guy by the name of Theophilus. Now, Theophilus was a guy who wanted to be assured of what he had heard about Jesus, what he had learned, what he had been taught about this coming king, and how to serve him effectively. So if we pick it up in chapter 19, verse 1, we're going to read it a little bit slower than you might normally read it so we can pick up some point. I'm going to have some bold words up there, and I want you to pay attention to them as we go through. Luke 19, verse 1 starts off. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was, come on, y'all, rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. On account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received Jesus how? Joyfully. When they saw it, they all grumbled. Yes, sir. He is going to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood his ground. Yes, and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, my owner, my source, half my goods I give, not going to give, I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it four times. And Jesus said to him, today, this day, salvation has come to this house. Since he also is, somebody say is, a son of Abraham. That means a son of promise, a son of blessing. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Yes. Now, Father, give us understanding. I want to ask you a question. In this story, who's lost? Before you answer, let's take a look at a few things. Jesus had personally identified Zacchaeus, asking him to hurry and come down from the tree. He personally identified him. Number two, Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' house and said, I must stay at your house today. Okay? Jesus is going to take time, the day, to hang out with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a house. Hello. Zacchaeus is called a chief in his field of endeavor, so he's risen through the ranks and among many others. Zacchaeus, it says in the scripture, was rich. Who is lost? Zacchaeus was giving half his goods to the poor. No one could accuse Zacchaeus of cheating them out of a dime. He has defrauded no one, not one of them that was accusing him. They called Zacchaeus a sinner. However, Jesus called him a son of Abraham, one who is walking by faith and doing the works of Abraham. Before we even answer who's lost, let me give you 12 points I want you to pull out of this. It'll be up here on the screen, but I want you to see this. Number one, Zacchaeus had made it his intention to be there and at least get a glimpse of this guy, Jesus. So he went after Jesus regardless of the circumstances. Number two, Zacchaeus had possibly lived a life with challenges. The scripture says he was small in stature. He was possibly picked on or bullied. That's totally my conjecture, but it fits. He didn't let where he started stop his effectiveness. He didn't become bitter. Number three, we don't know what happened. The scripture doesn't say, but we learn that he's become passionate for the poor and the underdog. Number four, he has learned not to defraud or treat anyone with dishonesty in a field of endeavor notorious for that type of behavior. Number five, he's become chief in his work. He's mastered his craft. In order to become this way, he had to apply himself. He's grown his business. He's expanded his territory. Number six, it says that he was a chief tax collector, which meant he had influence. In order to become chief, it would appear there was a time he was not chief, a time when he was not so well off, when he was struggling to make ends meet, my sister. And so maybe he didn't get started with a silver spoon in his mouth or rich, but he developed himself. Number seven, he knew lack, but he did what it took to become great at his job. He persevered. Number eight, he had used his field of endeavor to become rich. This would indicate everyone who was a tax collector didn't become rich or chief, but what he did and how he did it stood out to others. Oh, God. Half his goods are given away, yet he's still rich. He realized what he had and what he had gained was not his own. Number 11, it stands to reason he didn't just start giving when he got rich. He made giving a part of his nature and a part of his makeup. Number 12, he climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. He demonstrates an amazing humility. What rich person do you know that would climb up in a tree to see anyone? Perhaps this young boy Zacchaeus read or heard some of these scriptures. I'm going to give you three of them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. One gives freely, yet grows richer. Another withholds what he should and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Look at Proverbs 19, 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop. Less than 24 hours before this encounter with Zacchaeus, the Lord had another encounter with a rich guy. It was a guy called Rich Young Ruler. And this rich young ruler that Jesus had this encounter with, the scripture says this man went away sad because Jesus said to him, one thing you lack, one thing you're missing, and he went away sad. Now, after Jesus tells them how difficult it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God, a question arises. The question is, who then can be saved? Jesus has a powerful answer. He says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Less than 24 hours later, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today, salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to a rich guy's house. Oh, my God. Within 48 hours of Jesus going into Jerusalem to die, he's had two encounters with rich guys. Both of them have turned out different. Okay, are we here? Are we learning? Or we're just getting started? Say brain shift. Listen, I believe Zacchaeus has tapped into something. Something the rich ruler missed, something maybe me, I had missed, maybe we have missed. He has discovered a purpose for living, a way of living, a destiny that is heaven-led and heaven-sent. God calls us all to water others. For our barns to be filled with plenty, we are to provide plenty to others. When we are compassionate towards the poor, giving to assist them, the Lord becomes debtor and makes it his mission to cover that debt. I want to redefine poor for you. Poor is not just physically poor and not having. Poor can be poor emotionally, poor mentally, poor in any way. Any way that you are lacking ability and the means to live effectively. We get to be the ones that engage them and help bring about a change. Zacchaeus was not boastful. He was not flashy. He was great at his job. He has ownership of property. He distributes not only money but goods. So that means he's industrious. He has become a person of influence in a field of endeavor. Jesus takes note of him. Listen what Jesus our Lord said. Today I must be at your house. As you know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. So here's the point. When Jesus stops to engage Zacchaeus, all of heaven is paying attention. You also have to realize Jesus had a full entourage with all the disciples, the 72, Mary Magdalene, even his own mother was there. And Jesus stops in the middle of the road, leaves them all, and goes and spends the afternoon with Zacchaeus. They're standing back going, what in God's name just happened? What would make him do something like that? This afternoon, this dinner that he goes to spend with this unknown short guy named Zacchaeus is the last encounter of our Lord before his triumphal entry, his last supper, his last plea in the garden, his betrayal, his beating, and his death. Why is this guy, Zacchaeus, who Jesus spends the day with? That's where we're coming to, and this is what I want to talk to you about. This guy and others like him, men, women, elderly, young, students, firemen, police officers, teachers, principals, housewives, mothers, young people, kids in the school, every one of them are who I've come to call champions of justice, justice enforcers. They are people that God can trust and use to put things right for others in a just way for God. We've heard about being righteous. We've heard righteousness preached. We've heard about the love of God. But I want to question you on a subject that we haven't heard very much about. It's being a justice provider and a justice enforcer. Now, I'm going to unleash to you and unveil to you scriptures that you probably have read, but I guarantee you haven't seen because I hadn't seen them. And I want you to just follow along with me. We're going to go fast. Are y'all ready for shotgun? Here we go. We're going to go fast. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe, mint, deal, and cumin. You come bring your money every Sunday. You in the church every time the door's open. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone. Luke 11:42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not left out. He put love and justice on the same playing field. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Look at this, guys. Please look at this with me. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. Come now, says the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you be, what does it say? Willing and obedient to what? The instruction. Seek justice. Bring justice. Psalms 106, verse 3 says, blessed are those who what? Observe justice. Blessed, fully satisfied, having everything you need are those who observe justice and do righteousness. At how many times? All times. Let's read this one together, if y'all will. Can y'all read this out loud with me, please? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, come on, in his wisdom. Read this one out loud, real loud. Go. Do I delight, declares the Lord. Psalms chapter 9, verse 7. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. Now here's where the rubber meets the road for every one of us. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23. This spirit crushed me, it set upon me, it laid upon me, and God said, this is what I want you to be about from this day forward. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much, but is swept away through injustice. Let me break that scripture down for you. Here's what it said. It says the uncultivated field of every person, poor, rich, young, old, no matter where you came from, would produce much. If justice could come to the situation, it would produce what it's supposed to. Pastor Jason used an example last week where he had two people up on the stage. One had resources, one had an idea. He said if those two could come together without offense, that good and that idea and those riches could come together to produce something. Let me tell you what the scripture says. The scripture says your gift will make room for you. It'll bring you before great men. It'll bring you before kings. You might have the idea that next time after your idea takes off, you got the money. But one of those things, when they come together, they begin to produce what God wants on the earth. You were not put here just for you. You're put here to assist and help somebody else become everything God gave them to be. God told me we've got to get out of selfishness and be the church he called us to be. I want righteousness, God says, but I need justice also. Justice is what we're to do. Righteousness is how we're to do it. Yes. Let me tell you what God told me from the scripture. He said, your bringing justice to the earth is the answer to poverty. Your bringing justice to the earth is the answer to poverty. I'm going to show it to you. One of my very good friends in Kenya, he got to read something I wrote on this. And he said, Stephron, I want to get this into the hands of the president of our country. This is the answer for Africa. When you find people unadulteratedly give themselves to God to be justice providers in the earth, everything changes. Let me show it to you. I want to give you a definition for champions of justice and justice enforcers so you'll have it. Look at this. Here it is. Those who willingly, intentionally use their capability and means to put things right for others in just ways on behalf of the just one. All justice is submitted to God, and all justice is to bring people back into community and into effectiveness. Putting things right on earth for the just one in a just way is your call. Putting things right for others in a just way for the just one That's your call. I don't care what job you're in. I don't care where you started it. I don't care where you began, where you're in. I don't care what you've been through. You've been through it for someone else. Don't worry about the time. I've already asked Pastor Jason if I could have a little more time. He told me you needed to hear this, so get it done. Justice is on the heart of God. It gets his attention. I want you to look at the scripture. Look at this with me, please. You've heard the scripture. You've quoted the scripture. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Then God said to him," talking to Solomon, "because you have asked," say this thing. Come on, say this thing. "And have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemy, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you wise and understanding heart, so that there will be not one like you before you or one that will rise after you." But look at this, verse number 13. "And I have also given you, because you asked for justice, what you did not ask, both riches and honor." You want to know how God's going to bless you? Start seeking justice. "So that there will be not any that will be like you before you, or no king after you after your day." Look at Proverbs 21:3. "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable with the Lord than any sacrifice you can make." We've quoted this scripture. Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to do what? Establish it and... How long? From this time forth and forevermore. Look what it says. "And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this." You want to know why God's always provoking you, waking you up, telling you to go for the better, go for the good, be your best in your moment right now? Because when you're your best in your moment, you're the best for someone else too. Somebody's watching you, whether you know it or not. And you best in your moment makes them best in their moment, because you have been seasoned, given grace by God to arrive at a point so that when you get there, somebody else could come in, interact with you, and where you are lifts them. Isaiah 26:9, this is out of New Century Version. "Oh, read this and weep. My soul longs to be with you at night, my dear one, whoever you are. My spirit wants to be with you at the dawn of every day. When your way of justice comes to the land, people of the world will learn the right way of living." God is waiting on you. Isaiah 51:4. "Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation, for the law will go out from me. I will set my justice for a light to the people." Jesus said this, "You are the light of the world. Salt of the earth, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. What is the city? What is the light you are? You're a light of justice to a wicked and perverse generation that is looking for hope. Have you ever seen a time where people are longing for something that's bright and beautiful and gives hope? That any other time other than now? It's your time. It's the time for the church to arise. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I wanted to go to verse 6 and start this. It talks about, what sacrifices am I going to bring to the Lord? What songs am I going to sing? What am I going to offer him this time? And it gets to verse 8 and it says this. "He has told you, O man, O woman, O child, O little one, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." Listen what it says about Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will he will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. But guess how he's going to do it? Through you. Jesus has did his part. He said it's finished. He sat down on the right hand of God. But now he's establishing justice in the earth through you. You're the one that's going to bring it forth for him. Now let me give you some balance before I bring this to a close. Balance for those who are concerned about the prosperity message or seeking riches being getting you off track. I just heard just recently that somebody said, I keep myself right at the poverty level so I stay sharp and in tune for God and don't get distracted. That sounds very noble. That sounds very honorable. But I'm going to tell you, it's not scriptural. Let me show you what the scripture says, and then let's put balance to this thing. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. It says, whoever trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this. Proverbs 19:4. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. Oh, come on. Verse 7 of chapter 19. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but he ain't got no words that's going to bring them back. They're going to be like, we know what you want. Oh. This is scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 1 and 2. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and favor better than silver and gold. That's true. God gives us great warnings about getting focused wrong where riches are concerned. He gives us great warning about going after the wrong thing. But that doesn't stop the fact that he wants you to have some things. Read this with me. Verse 2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is making. Lord don't have a problem whether you're rich or poor. He said, what I put in you got to come out. If you start out poor, God say, good, I can use you the best. If you start out rich, God say, good, I can use you the best. Both of you are going to need me. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is subject to the lender. You're about to start ruling over some things, but you're not going to rule over the poor to take advantage of them. You're going to rule over the poor to bring them where they should have been. Because your eyes are going to be open to something different, something new. Now, let me go to the scripture because I argue with God. God told me, I said, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be effective. You know what he told me? He said, your problem is, Stephron, you don't love money enough. I said, God, I started quoting scripture to God. I started telling God every scripture I can remember about Richard. I did. I promise you I did. He said, your problem is you don't love money enough. You don't love money enough to assign it. You don't love money enough to save it. You don't love money enough to invest it. You don't love money enough to use it for my purposes and my intent. You don't love money enough to give when I tell you to give. You like the rich young ruler. You lack in one thing. Let's go to one of our favorite scriptures we use. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. Oh yeah, we finna mess with it. We finna mess with your little golden calves and all your stuff. Tear them down. This is Luke talking. He said, for the love. Now, I want you to stop right there. Every word, every time you see love in the Bible is not the word agape. It's not a word of agapeo. This word here is actually philagoria. Philagoria is philagoria. Here's what it means. A better translation, the lust of money is the root of all evil. And all kinds, and through this craving, this pursuit, that some have wandered away from the faith, piercing themselves through with many pains. This craving, this covetous desire, this lustful craving associated with greed and a perverted pursuit of is the root of all evil, not loving it. God said, I made money to be used for my purpose. You use it for my purpose. Look at verse 11. Let me not even give my discourse. Look at verse 11. But as for you, point at your neighbor, say, you neighbor. As for you, oh man or woman of God, flee these other things, these kind of cravings. Pursue righteousness. Another word for that is justice. Godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and justice. You've been told what to pursue. Now, just for your sake, Paul wrote this. Don't be caught up in the love of money. If Paul had a problem with rich people, do you think he would have wrote this next verse? Go down just seven verses from verse 10 to verse 17. Put it up there, brother. As for the rich, St. Paul, seven verses removed. As for the rich in this present age, charge them. I'm charging every one of you that you're to be rich, and God says, I got a purpose for your being rich. Charge them not to be what? Haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who does what? Richly provides you everything. To what? Oh, my God. See, y'all got a problem with me, and I'm enjoying everything he's got for me. What did they do? They murmured and complained about Zacchaeus. Jesus called him a son of Abraham. Richly to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves treasure as a good foundation of the future so that they may take hold. Rich and ready to share. How you gonna share what you ain't got? Can I tear down some more? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all know the scripture, verse number 6. I love the way it starts. The point is this. Here's my point. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, let's read it together. No, don't read it together. Just read along with me. And God is able to make what? All grace abound to you. Now, grace means that has been divinely preordained for you, set aside for you before you were ever created, so that you have sufficiency for all things in every good time and every good work. Now, watch what it says here. It says that you will have all grace abounding to you, that you having all what? In? At? That you may abound? God said, I'm going to give you everything you need at every time you need it, whenever you need it to do every good work. That needs to be a part of your confession. That needs to be a part of your faith. That needs to be a part of what you get a hold of. Look at verse 9. And as it is written, he has distributed freely because you did that. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, read it with me if you will, please. Verse 11, read. What's left out? You be enriched in every way. To be generous in every way. You're not on your job to work your job. You're on your job to get resources to produce what God wants. You are in your neighborhood is blessed because you're in it. I want to give you a couple of instructions before I close down. I got 3 minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. The children of Israel had came into the promised land. You guys have entered your promised land. You've accepted the Lord. They gave them an instruction. Verse 18 says, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes. And you shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. There's no justice that has partiality, prejudice, bias, or considers anyone, creed, color, socioeconomic background, unless you are blind but with an ear for God, you will never produce justice. Look at verse 20. Justice and only justice shall you follow, that you may live and inherit the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the reason I've taken so much time to break down these scriptures for you today is because of this next scripture. And I want you to be honest with yourself, because I had to be honest with myself when I read it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5 says this: evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. I had to come to terms with the fact that not only did I not understand justice, I couldn't even describe what it was, how it worked, or who or how God established it. All I'd seen God was a punishing, judging God. I didn't understand that that judgment had justice in it. And everything God does is to bring us back to our effective place he called us to be. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 7. In the New Testament, right before Luke writes about Zacchaeus, he makes this statement. He said, will God not give justice to his elect? I say to you, BFF, you are his elect, who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes to earth, will he find faith on the earth? How is he going to find faith? Because you are actively producing, actively doing acts of justice that bring glory to your God. The Father's looking for champions of justice. He's looking for justice enforcers. He's looking for some Zacchaeuses. I question you today. Are you a Zacchaeus that he can trust to be a son of Abraham? That what he brings into your hand won't stick to your hand, but it'll be used for his glory. I had never seen this scripture before, but I want you to, this is my ending scripture, Hebrews chapter number 11. We talk about the hall of faith and champions of the faith and all that they did. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. It says, what more shall I say? There's more I could say, but what more shall I say? For the time would fail me, and it has, to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. I told you I hadn't ever spoke this message in the U.S. When I speak this message in Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, places I've been, the people recognize that from the poorest of poor, where the average income is less than $8 a month, I've watched people over the last 5 years start with one chicken, start hatching eggs, get a second chicken, and sell those eggs, and then go out and get a cow and a goat and start doing milk, and then buy a little plot of land. And then they use that to grow some vegetables and some stuff. And then they use where they're at and begin to produce. What's your excuse?
Yeah, that's good.
God has called us to be champions of justice. Justice enforcers wherever we go. I hope I've quickened something in you. I hope I've spoken to something in you that has become ignited to grow and go with God, in Jesus' name. Come on, go ahead, stand on your feet. Father, in my own way, I've tried to deliver your word in a way that your people could receive it. I pray I didn't come across as agitated or forceful, but giving them your truth, God. This idea of justice has been forgotten, neglected is what you called it in Matthew and in Luke. May your people hear your word. May your people receive your word. May your people act upon your word, God. Father, we need you like nothing we've ever. Our world needs you. Our land needs you. We're desperate for who you are to come to where we are and transform us and shift us, move us into your presence and into your purpose. Thank you, Father, that there are Zacchaeuses in this room that not only have their goods, but everything they are will be yielded to you. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says about them. What matters is who you are in them. You have an answer for every ill that is on the face of the earth. And I believe it is a champion of justice stepping in and doing justice through faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.